Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called The Benefits of Making an HMA Alliance, How These Two Partners Earned $80,000 on One Client Alone. When Brian signed on to be an HMA consultant, he asked if there were any other consultants in his area that he'd have to worry about competing with. He lived in a small town of only about 15,000 people in New York, so he knew the chances were pretty slim. He was stunned to find out another HMA consultant named Frank lived just minutes from him in the same small town. Instead of looking at it like a deterrent, Brian decided to introduce himself to see if maybe they could work together. They have been nonstop ever since, and in this audio interview, you'll get an exclusive look at their partnership, how everything works and how everybody gets paid, how they leverage off each other's skills, get clients, divide their tasks and talents, outline expectations and accountability, and more. But most of all, you'll hear exactly how they earned $80,000 on their first client, and they haven't even touched the marketing side yet. You'll also learn a step-by-step walkthrough of the first meeting they had with their $80,000 client, what their goals were, all about the two auditing systems that they were selling the client, sales and marketing, and how they closed them. You'll hear exactly what Frank and Brian did to change their prospect's mind when the client suddenly announced in their first meeting that he hated consultants and didn't believe they brought any value. You'll hear the one area that the HMA system excels at that both Frank and Brian are sure was the reason the client decided to take a chance on them. You'll get a complete look at all nine steps of their auditing sales system that Frank and Brian took their client through and charged them $48,000 for, and a quick look at the $32,000 in extra services they sold him on to. You'll hear the one phrase you may want to use in all of your first client meetings with prospects because it seems to pique interest every time. You'll hear the absolutely critical areas you must iron out if you're thinking about participating with another marketing consultant. You'll hear the key to a successful direct mail campaign and other marketing advice from Brian, a direct mail expert, like three quick examples of how to use a unique 3D mailing to get a better and more cost-effective response rate. You'll also hear the pros and cons of partnering up when it comes to marketing consulting and some clear and straightforward advice for new consultants. Frank says it's so easy to have the scarcity mindset, thinking that everyone is a competitor, where you look at everyone as competition and worry that there's only so much of the pie that can go around. He and Brian didn't do that. With the abundance mindset, they examined their strengths to see what each could bring to the table and ended up forming a powerful HMA alliance with a shared list of leads and skills. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about it. Now let's get going. Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Wonderful. I've got Brian on the other line. Brian, say hello.
Hey, Frank. Michael, before you start.
Yes.
Just to let you know, I don't know how to introduce this, but one of the things we've done is we put together a sales system just like the marketing system. And I'll just mention it, but I wanted you to be aware of that. We've got a marketing system, an opportunity analysis, and we've got a sales system opportunity analysis too now.
All right, so let me ask you this. So is this something that you guys want to start selling, kind of like I'm selling the consulting thing?
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of time and effort into this, and this is the first part of what we're doing for our clients, and then we're going to come in with the marketing.
Okay, so you guys have put a system to help your clients sell better, more specifically in the sales arena?
Yes, that's correct. That goes beyond sales training, Michael.
Okay. thank you for letting me know. And I kind of did get a little bit of an idea with some of the questions. So I'm sure we can pull some good, valuable information for everyone involved. Don't you agree?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So, Brian, tell us about yourself. Give me a little bit of background on your career. What have you been doing all these years?
Well, I basically started in sales since I was 17 years old. I opened up a company by the name of Target Promotions, and that's a promotional products company or a specialty advertising company. But through the years, it pretty much evolved into more of a performance-based company. Because we took on so many different avenues, we changed the name to the Target Group. And we started focusing a little bit more, Michael, on implementing programs that have major impact with clients, employee years of service programs, employee performance programs, safety wellness programs, and customer incentive and retention programs. And we really can do just about anything that will help attract, convert, and retain clients. But our main specialty is putting together what we call high-value creative marketing piece designs for our clients.
So give me an example. Is that something like three-dimensional mail or lumpy mail that maybe some of our listeners are familiar with?
Yeah. Usually what happens, Michael, when we're dealing with clients, they usually have two groups of people they want to connect with. Either their top, say, 100 prospects they most want to do business with, or maybe they have a bunch of inactive accounts that they want to do business with again. So what my team and I do is we come up with some ideas and we build what we call a creative marketing piece that has some wow factor and gets the attention of the group that they're trying to do business with. And many times before our customer actually has time to call the customer and follow up on the piece, their phone's already ringing.
So is this a piece that's usually mailed through the U.S. Mail or FedEx or UPS?
Any one of the three would work. I'll give you a quick example, one for a tennis center. Their goal was to add new members, and they were currently spending about $5,000 on postcards to a certain demographic around the tennis center that would give them normally about two new members. So the cost to acquire a member came out to be about $2,500. So to bring down their ROI, what we created was a creative piece design targeting people not only in their demographic area of the tennis center, but in a certain income bracket, as well as they had to like tennis. And we knew that because we did some research and we found out that these particular people actually bought a certain tennis magazine that they subscribed to. So the creative piece that we designed was a box, and on the top of the box it said the name of the tennis center and their logo, and it said that they were serving up a great offer. So inside the box listed all the benefits of the club, and we did a printed tennis ball with their logo on it and a gold membership card that gave these people free use of the facility for a full week to really enjoy themselves. And the result was 350 of these creative pieces sent. We got 75 new members, and we dropped their cost from $2,500 per down to about $52 per. And then not only that, but the exponential growth was pretty amazing because most of those people end up bringing a family member or friend to join them.
That's a great example. So when you started with target marketing in the specialty advertising industry, I can only assume that you learned about this with your experience in the specialty advertising, going to the trade shows, looking for these unique gift items that capture attention and gain response.
Absolutely. And then when you tie that together with the right copy and the right packaging and you put it all together and go after the clients that they most want to go after, it really comes out to be quite a success.
All right. Well, a little later, I'd like to get some more examples of some of the more successful promotions that you've done. But let's move on to your partner in crime, and that's Frank. Frank, we've interviewed you before once, but why don't you provide our listeners with a brief overview of your career?
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm essentially a performance consultant. My goal is to help individuals and organizations improve their performance. So I've done over 3,450 engagements throughout the United States and Canada, and I've worked with over 20 Fortune 500 companies in that respect. And most recently, I wrote a book with Benny Striegel, the former president and CEO of Verizon Wireless, called Managers, Can You Hear Me Now?, which is now available in over 60 countries. Again, very high-performance organization, and they just develop the mindsets, the skills, and the behaviors. And I think that's this whole process is so important that success and performance is a result of mindset, skills, and behaviors.
Thank you for that, Frank. What attracted both of you guys to the HMA system? We'll start with you, Brian.
Well, you know, Michael, the HMA system made it real easy to approach a business at a different level. Not only trying to sell them something, but to be able to approach a client with the ability to increase their business without having them spend any more money on advertising really piques interest. And after understanding the client's pain points, we could put together an organized proposal or project so we actually can get paid for our time
in addition to the other things we actually sell. That was really great for our business.
And Frank, what attracted you to the HMA system?
Well, I think it's the word system, Michael, initially, because you see a lot of marketing programs, and the word system really attracted me to your offer. And the reason being, I was exposed to someone from Advanced Engineering Studies at MIT. His name was Dr. Myron Tripas, and he made one of the most incisive remarks I've ever heard that apply to both marketing and sales. And he said that systems is the reason we succeed, that results that you get, good or bad, is a result of the system that you have in place. So the word system meant a lot. And as Brian and I started working together with small businesses, we discovered that a lot of what they do in marketing and selling is random acts. So sales are down, let's do a sales blitz. Marketing is down, let's buy billboards. So what we sell now is the fact that we've got a system for marketing and a system for selling as well.
How did you guys get introduced to each other?
Well, Michael, what happened is after I received my HMA materials, it wasn't long after that I actually gave you a call and asked you if there was any other licensed HMA consultant in my area. And at the time, you didn't think so, but then you gave me a call back and you said, you know, there is a guy in a small town called DEPEW, New York. And what you didn't know at that time is that that's exactly where I'm located. And Frank and I only live a few minutes away from each other in our office. So after finding that out, I initially reached out to Frank by email to see if he was open to meeting. And of course, Frank, being not only a great guy, but a true professional in every way, accepted, and here we are today.
Well, didn't you guys see each other as maybe competitors that y'all were going to cut in on each other's pie or piece of the territory?
Well, this is what I really admire about Brian is I think it's so easy to do that, Michael. You know, is to see a fixed pie and to come from a scarcity mindset. And Brian came from an abundance mindset. And he said, you know, let's take a look at what each of us do and how we do it and see if we can't leverage what we do to grow a new business here. So when I discovered that Brian was in the design and promotional field, it's the very kind of clients that would lend themselves to the HMA system. And we wouldn't have known that if we didn't get together. We maybe would have seen each other as competitors and each of us starting to worry about, gee, when am I going to get my business? Somebody's cutting in on my territory. And, you know, all that kind of thinking that I think takes you down the road of scarcity.
All right, so tell me how it all started. When was y'all's first face-to-face meeting? Where did y'all meet, and what did you see after that meeting as an opportunity to possibly join forces?
We met at Horton's Coffee Shop on Transit Road in Depew, New York. Is that specific enough for you?
That's good. Had y'all both frequented that coffee shop before?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Many times.
And it was interesting because once we met, and we were both excited about the fact that we were both HMA consultants. And then very quickly, when Brian recognized that I was doing a lot in the sales arena and that he had a lot of small business clients that he was selling his high-value promotional items to, it was almost an instant click.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Before y'all met, had each one of y'all implemented any of the steps of the HMA system for any of your existing clients, or were y'all both just kind of getting going at that time?
You know, Michael, I was doing some of them randomly. I can't tell you how many hours I spent with clients before I got the HMA system of creative hours spent, unbillable hours. I just didn't really have a system for that unless I ended up making a sale. I wasn't making any money off of it. So I was doing parts of it, but certainly not the way that we're doing it now, that's for sure.
So after that first meeting at the coffee shop, did y'all leave each other with an agreement or just kind of leave it up in the air and then y'all got back to each other? What happened after that?
Well, it was a handshake, Michael, and we shook hands and we said, let's start to move forward. Let's think about clients that you have and perhaps I have that we can join forces. The nice thing about this, Michael, is the fact that we still have our own businesses. You know, he still has his high-value promotional business. I still have my speaking and seminar business. So this is a whole new source of income for both of us. So we agreed to start meeting, and we talked about the type of clients. We were looking basically for clients in the $30 million to $100 million range, and that's what we're focusing on. So we found a client. It was a person that Brian knew that owned a industrial product distributor company, and he said, let me make the approach, and let's see what happens. So we met in September, and in October, we were sitting in a potential client's office at the time.
So Brian, this client, was your contact?
Yes, it was.
Was it someone you sold specialty advertising to in the past?
No, he actually is in a specialty type business as well, so that wasn't really much of a fit. It was more of a customer that I would sell years of service programs to, like more employee related.
Okay, so you had the contact. So did you make a call to him to do a warm referral for Frank to go in and meet him?
Yes, that's exactly how it happened. I told him I have some ways that we can increase their business without them having to spend any more money on advertising. He gave us the appointment, and that was pretty much it.
So did he know you were going to come in too? You guys came in together, or were you just endorsing Frank as the consulting expert and you kind of stayed out of it?
You know, he didn't at the time know that we were coming in together, but when we both went in together, it was a pretty warm feeling right from the very beginning, so it worked out well.
Okay, so is this the client story that you shared with me that generated over $80,000 in 6 months?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, for the existing HMA consultants and the listeners, let's get real specific of how this all occurred. From the very first client meeting, let's take me and the listeners through the steps of how the ultimate business occurred. So you met on that first day. Both of you were there in front of them. And how did y'all work it? Did you take them through an opportunity analysis? Was it a casual meeting? What was the goal of that first meeting with him?
We wanted to generate interest at the first meeting and obviously determine the state of the business. The owner let us know pretty quickly that he hates consultants.
Tell me, how was that done?
Well, he just said he hates consultants, and, you know, he didn't think they brought any value. And so using objection techniques, we pulled the objection, and we discovered that he did have an experience with a consultant, where the consultant laid out what they should do, laid out the problems, laid out the recommendations, and then simply walked away. So one of the things we did, and I think it's a suggestion for all of the HMA consultants, is that we will not only lay out recommendations, but we will lead in the implementation. And I think that piqued his interest.
This past experience, he paid for that service, for them to lay out the steps of what he needed to do, but the consultant did none of the execution. And he paid for that and never ended up executing?
Right, that's correct.
Did he share how much he invested?
I don't recall. No, I don't think so. But he was pretty upset, so it had to be a pretty hefty amount.
All right, so what else did he reveal during that meeting? Were you able to learn about some of his hidden marketing assets? Were you able to take him through any kind of opportunity analysis, or was it a little bit more informal on that first meeting?
What we tried to accomplish and what we tried to sell at that first meeting is a marketing audit, which is essentially the opportunity analysis. We shortened it up a bit. And then also a sales audit to take a look at everything he's doing in the sales arena other than sales training. So as we got through that, he kind of was more interested in the sales audit piece. He felt that he had some operational issues, that they were not aligned, that they were not organized. And the more questions we asked and the more things we asked to see, as an example, let's take a look at your job descriptions for sales. Let's take a look at your training program. Let's take a look at your onboarding process. The more he recognized that they were really lacking in a system that produces sales. In fact, he turned to his national sales manager and he turned to vice president of sales. At one point, he says, these guys got to think we're morons.
How many outside sales people did he have in the firm?
35.
35 outside, nationally, all over the country?
Mm-hmm. About 240 employees.
Wow. And so your strategy going in was to sell a marketing audit or to sell a sales audit. What were you guys going to charge for that?
For the sales audit alone. So he said, I've got problems on the sales side. I'd like for you guys to concentrate on the sales side. So we said, all right, and we put together a auditing the sales system program. So we charged them about $48,000 for that.
Okay, and so what was he going to get with that? What is this auditing sales system that you guys put together? Tell the listeners a little bit more about that and how that was structured to help him.
Okay, so when we started asking questions, we asked as an example, let's take a look at your job description. Well, the job description for salespeople was outdated. It was outmoded. It was not results-oriented. So we actually put together, and that's the first step of our 9-step sales system, is to examine the sales job description and make it a sales results-oriented job description so that when a salesperson takes the job, he knows what is expected of him in clear terms. The second thing we looked at was how they recruit salespeople, and they have some pieces in place for this, so we just have to tweak this a little bit. The third is how they actually hire salespeople, which has to do with screening and has to do with follow-up. And again, they had some pieces in place here. One of their real weaknesses was step number 4, which is the onboard salespeople. A lot of small businesses just throw a salesperson into the field with very little training, very little background. So in the onboarding process, we ask them, what does a salesperson need to know, do, or use to be effective once they're in the field? Then we got into the sales training process. They have not had any sales training in years, so we designed a sales training process for them, which we conducted for them. And then we took a look at how they manage the sales process. Are there goals? Are there metrics? Is there coaching involved? The next 3 steps we'll be looking at is how they compensate salespeople, and that's step number 7. How do they motivate and recognize salespeople? That's step number 8. And then how are the sales managers effective in managing the sales performance of salespeople? That's step number 9.
All right, very good. How long of a term will it take you to work through the sales system with this particular client in months?
We are practically done with the 7 steps. We're going to wait until the end of their year, which is in August, for the sales compensation process. This week, actually, this Friday, we're meeting on the motivation and recognition process, and that should wrap up this piece. So we haven't even gotten to the marketing. The nice thing about when you go to the sales process, Michael, is you discover opportunities where they need marketing in the marketing process.
I see. I'm curious, how did you conduct the company-wide sales training? Was that done virtually, or did they bring everyone in on a sales convention?
They brought everybody in on a sales convention, and we got them for 2.5 days. We trained the sales managers first for 2.5 days, then they brought the whole sales team in for 2.5 days.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Wow, so both you and Brian were there doing all the training.
Yeah, that was a separate piece, too. That was beyond the $48,000.
Oh, so they paid extra for that?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, what kind of money did you make on that?
About 30-something. Yeah, about 30.
Okay, that's fantastic. So that's a whole other element of getting the whole company in there. That's not something they had to do. They didn't have to bring everyone in. Did you offer an alternative to do sales training virtually using technology like the internet or conference calls, things of that nature?
This is very important. Once the client has trust with you, they recognize that you know what you're doing, they trust that you have their best interest in heart, they started simply asking us what we thought and accepting our recommendations.
My question is, so this particular client, when he told you he hated consultants and it was because his last consultant didn't offer the integration, do you think if you guys went in there with the sales system and didn't offer to do the execution for him, he would have written you a check for $40,000?
No, totally not.
And this is what separates the HMA system. We teach our consultants, you're going to learn how to do the integration of all the steps in the system. And that's a big part of it. Wouldn't you agree that businesses don't have time to do it themselves? They want someone to do it all for them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly it. You know, they go from one problem to another. They go from one crisis. These are the business owners. They go from one problem to another problem, one crisis to another. And they don't have the ability to sit down and actually do these things. And that's not their background. That's not their experience. So when you can show them that you'll not only suggest what to do, but you'll help them integrate it, you'll help them execute it. And we tell people, we'll stay with them until they see results. That seems to be very powerful.
That brings me to another question. Did you guys have a risk reversal? Did you have a guarantee on your services?
What we said to them is they have a very ambitious sales goal and that we would stay with them until they develop momentum toward their sales goal. You know, when you say that, I know it sounds a little vague, But right now, we have the owner saying, I love consultants.
Yeah, because you made them money.
And once they have trust in you, Michael, you know, and once they have rapport with you, the guarantee doesn't become as important. I think it's more upfront that it's important in terms of making the decision. But as you show and demonstrate what you can accomplish, what you can do for them, it becomes less important.
I would agree.
Michael, if I could add just one other thing, too. When you think about how many salespeople they have, I think they're going to be up to 40 pretty soon because they are doing some hiring. Whatever they spent with us, when you divide that between 40 salespeople, I mean, it really isn't that much. They're going to increase their sales so much, it's incredible. And they're looking to go up from, what, $65 million to $250 million in the next, they want 10 years. I think we can do it in 7.
That's going to be phenomenal. And I can't wait in a year from now to hear from you guys and to learn how much their sales have gone up because of your sales system. And hopefully by that time you've integrated a USP with them and done some marketing. So we should do a follow-up interview on that.
Absolutely. Here's a concrete example, Michael, of what we discovered. They've been in business since the 1970s. The father started the business. The son has now taken over the business. And we discovered that they have a lot of dormant customers, and they have a lot of prospects, but they just haven't been able to get to them, which now gives rise to a marketing solution, not a selling solution. We're going to be concentrating on that piece next. So, you know, it's the sales system feeds the marketing system. The marketing system feeds the sales system.
Yeah, you put the marketing system, you use some direct mail, and use some creative ideas from Brian. You've got the sales system going, so you can train the salesmen to take inbound calls from the leads that are produced from the marketing, and it is all cohesive. Absolutely. So share with the listeners, what kind of results, feedback have you received from the client as far as increased revenues, increased sales, closing ratios? What kind of results are they seeing from your training?
Well, what we discovered is that this is a real change in their sales culture, Michael. So they've actually started the process as of March the 1st. So what they're doing with their salespeople is identifying the specific sales activities that each salesperson has to do to reach their sales goals. So we've developed activity worksheets. We've worked with the sales managers on making sales assessments when they do their ride-alongs with the salespeople. So it's only the first week that we're into, and we're meeting with them every 2 weeks with the sales managers to gauge results. So we probably won't have a good handle on that for several months. So what we're focusing on first is we are seeing an increase in appointments with dormant customers, with prospects, and with existing customers. And at our last sales meeting, only one salesperson out of all of them did not meet their activity targets.
That's excellent. Now, Brian, on your end, are you able to bring your target marketing with creative promotional expertise to the table to help that company generate more qualified leads that these well-trained salespeople can make the calls on?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of our steps is sales and motivating in the recognition process, so that's also in our sales system. But the greatest thing is we haven't even really focused on the marketing side of their business yet. And just from a quick overview, I mean, there's some things that they're having severe challenges with that we know we can help through the HMA system for sure.
Okay, now I know there's HMA consultants thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this, and we all know how important the unique selling proposition is and why in the HMA system the unique selling proposition and developing one that's right for the company first is so important so it can be integrated in all the sales messages. Is that something you took into consideration, or did you think about maybe getting that part of their marketing done so it can be integrated in the selling through the sales reps and internal sales channels?
Yeah, on the marketing side, Michael, I can't stop thinking about it, to be honest with you. And they don't have the unique selling proposition yet. And the client really wanted to focus on the sales side of things first. So we just can't wait till we really dive into the marketing side.
All right, so you went with what the client wanted. It may have been smarter to get a unique selling proposition developed first for the client so it could be integrated into the sales, but he wanted sales, and you just delivered what he wanted, which is smart.
Yes, and they do have a unique selling proposition of sorts, which they've been using, and it's been in existence for a while, and it's simply whatever it takes. That's the phrase they've been using. Whatever it takes to get you the product, if it's us driving overnight to get it to you, whatever it takes. So, you know, we haven't talked about it, but there is something there that is part of the culture of the organization. We haven't done any wordsmithing on it.
All right. For the consultants, how did you get the money? You charged them for the sales system, remind me, 40 grand, 45?
48.
48,000. How did they have to pay? Was it all up front? Was it in payments? Was it after each step? What was the strategy there to get your money?
When they signed the contract, it was $16,000. We felt it would take about 4 months. In the middle of the contract, another $16,000. And at the end of the 4 months, another $16,000.
All right. So you have here, you've generated $80,000 in 6 months. Where did the additional 40-something thousand come from with this client?
Well, you had 48, plus you did the sales training, plus they want management training now and customer service training for their customer care staff. So you add all that up, it's going to be well in excess of 80.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I want to be maybe not the first, but I certainly want to congratulate you both on this client. That is excellent.
Thank you. We've got others in the hopper, which is very exciting about this. I think part of the key is when Brian and I got together, and as you know, Michael, being a consultant, it can be a very lonely job. You know, you have a bad day, you have nobody to talk to. You have a good day, you got nobody to talk to. So it really helps that we have each other to bounce ideas and motivate, and kind of being an accountability partner, I think, is important. I think the other thing that's really important here for HMA consultants is the alliance. I mean, we have an alliance, and this alliance is so strong that we both bring something to the alliance that we're going to keep it alive. So I'm suggesting to HMA consultants, take a look at people who sell products and services to small businesses that are not your competitor. So as an example, in Brian's case, it was high-value promotional items. Or maybe it's somebody who sells billboards to small businesses. You know, give them a call. Buy them a cup of coffee. Get together with them and see how you can leverage each other, because I think there's great opportunity in alliance building.
Absolutely. I mean, with the HMA system, alliance is the third step of the system, joint ventures, and every HMA consultant should be their own first client. And you got to ask yourself, where are your own alliances in your consulting business? And both of you guys accomplished that beautifully with this specific example. What other stuff do you have in the works that you can share, that you're excited about?
We have quite a few manufacturing plants that really are in desperate need of promotion and just building a system. They're losing a lot of their business to overseas, and we have a lot of appointments set up for April.
How were you able to generate these appointments? Are these through cold prospecting, or did you have some connection with them, Brian?
No, these are some of our clients in the promotional realm that we just basically told them that we bought the licensing rights to a multi-pillar HMA system, and this is what we do, and we can help them increase their sales and their profits without spending any more money on advertising, and give us a shot to meet, and Frank and I will go in there, and we'll do all the rest.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I want to bring up something that may be a little uncomfortable, but with partners, you know, there could always be problems when you have a partnership. So in your specific example, how did you two working together set the expectations so both of you felt like one wasn't doing more work than the other? Is that something you guys have discussed openly about your partnership and what you're going to do, Brian, what you're going to do, Frank, and what each one's responsibilities are going to be? Because you know how it is. When the money starts flowing in, sometimes attitudes change and partnerships can be at jeopardy. So how have you two discussed this to make sure you have a long-lasting and mutually beneficial and understanding of your partnership? I think that's important for anyone considering getting a partner for them as a marketing consultant.
I think the very first step is you have to believe in your partner. You have to trust your partner. And I knew a little bit of Brian's background after we met, and I've touched base with a number of people. And, you know, Brian is a family person. He has children. He cares about his children. He's active in the community. Brian, in my background, I think you got to start with that. You got to start with a strong feeling about the person. And I think then you have to communicate, because at the beginning of any partnership, you don't know what is going to come up down the line. So you got to be able to just simply talk it out. I know as an example that with this client that we have, I took the lead on the sales side. That's my expertise. Now we move to the marketing side. Brian's going to take the lead on the marketing side. And we know it's going to work out. And we've talked things through.
Good. How do you set it up legally? Do you do an LLC? Or are you just operating under sole proprietors? Who's the check made out to? How do you split the money?
I am actually on the payroll of Brian, which is the target group. And we funnel everything through the target group, and then Brian writes a check to me.
We both have our own companies. The clients that we're talking about currently are clients of the target group currently that we're now getting into the HMA system. So those all funnel through my company. And Frank was the higher hand, I guess, in his case.
All right, that's perfect. So are you going to go back to this client, and is he open to a marketing system for his existing business?
Absolutely. He can't wait to get into it, especially after we totally complete the sales system.
So if we have a listener listening and they really like the idea, maybe they have a client or someone they know with a large company in the million-dollar range that you described earlier in the interview who needs a detailed selling system for their sales force, what would be the best way for them to contact you guys if they wanted to get some more information? And is that something you can offer one of our consultants out there who may have a client interested in that?
Yeah, anybody that wants to give us a call, you can reach Frank or I at the Target Group.
What's the best number?
The best number is 716-871-1111. Frank and I have an extension.
Let's say the client's in California. Are you able to work with them just as effectively, even if they're cross-country?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, one of the things we want to do is actually develop a manual. We put a lot of time and effort into this and have a manual that would take you through each of the 9 steps. Pretty much like the manuals that you have for the HMA system, Michael?
Yes.
So we'd like to develop that and kind of take them through and actually have a program that they can buy.
I think that's excellent. Well, you would be able to share that with them. I definitely don't want to stop the interview without getting back to Brian. Brian, I would love to hear maybe 2 or 3 of maybe some your best promotional successes using some of the most unique promotional items, like the story you described was wonderful earlier in the interview. What are some other types of mailings, maybe low-cost mailings, that you could possibly put together and mail for some of the HMA consultants to a number of potential clients, say it's 500 or 1,000 leads? What's some good low-cost mailers to use that really get attention that you've seen maybe work in the past, maybe from what you've learned in the promotional industry? Any ideas on that?
Well, I definitely want to give that some thought. I could give you 2 quick examples of some things that we've done for some other companies that might spur on some ideas.
Sure.
We did one for a collision shop, and all they were looking for is a promotional item, like a magnet, just to stick on people's refrigerators. And the idea behind it was, after talking to them, said, what part of your business are you really looking to increase by doing this? And they said, the collision shop, we make a lot of money in collision, and we really want to increase that part of the business. So instead of just doing a business card magnet, what I did is I created a magnet that looks exactly like a Band-Aid, and on it was printed, sorry to see you had an accident, but we can make your car look like new again and stop in for a free estimate. We give you a free loaner. And each one of these magnets, Michael, were printed in a different color ink, like green would be for John and red would be for Steve and blue would be for Bob. And these were the people that worked at the collision shop, and they were told anytime they go out to the mall or wherever they go, if they see a car that was damaged, just boom, pop it right on the boo-boo kind of thing. And then when the person came out from the store and their car was already damaged, they saw the creative way to market and to go to this particular auto dealer. And they got a ton of business. And what happened is the reason why the Band-Aid magnets were in different colors, so you could tell which one John did or which one Bob did, and they each got a spiff every time a car came in. So that was one example that worked out really well, increased their business quite a bit.
That's a great idea. I like that a lot.
Another one is actually being used by, I have a division of my target group company called UtilaTarget, and it's a way that we can help businesses reduce their bills on gas and electric and overcharges and things like that. What I did is I put a really neat box together. It's kind of hard to do this over the interview, but ultimately I met up with Jim Kelly, who's obviously the Hall of Fame quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, and he endorsed this box, and inside the box was a little, it was like a garbage can, and it basically said, don't let leaks in your gas and electric bills drain your profits kind of a thing. and Jim endorsed it. We put a $2 bill inside of each one. So when we sent it out to CEOs, they were already positive by knowing us. And we got quite a few leads before we even got a chance to follow up on these particular marketing pieces. We got quite a few leads with them just calling us up saying, gee, that was great. And how can you help us save money?
So one of your divisions was to help large companies reduce their utility bills.
Right, correct.
And this was the lead generator. How many did you send out on that promotion?
Probably sent out about 50 to 75. And that's the great thing about this. You don't have to send out a ton of them. What you want to do is send them out in smaller amounts and really follow up on them.
I see. The quarterbacker who endorsed it, did you have to pay him to do the endorsement? How did you work that out? Does he get any kind of percentage of any sales that result?
No, he's actually a friend of mine, but he would get a piece of all sales that would come in.
Okay, that would be nice. What was the average roundabout cost of that mailing, including postage, the box, and the little garbage can? Was it a plastic one or one of the little silver ones?
No, it's one of those galvanized silver ones. It was like a little metal one, and he autographed each one of those. So it not only became a useful piece when it was sent, but it became a piece that people would put on their desk and maybe put their pens or pencils in or something like that. So it was kind of neat, a neat reminder of our company. The total cost is probably about $25 a box.
$25 a pop. Yeah, but look at the return on a mailing like that compared to a piece of junk mail that says, how would you like to reduce your utility bills, where most of them end up in the garbage?
And the key is, Michael, not to send it to everybody. The key is to really develop who exactly you want to send it to, who you really want to get business from. And if you do get business, it would be well worth it, the whole promotion in total.
Yeah, so do you remember how many accounts that brought in?
We brought in 3 different accounts with that, and we easily surpassed what we spent on the promotion.
You've been in specialty advertising a long time. Are calendars still hot? I mean, calendars seem like the mainstay in promotional advertising. But with cell phones and iPhones and digital stuff, do people still like getting personal calendars, paper calendars?
You know, I got to tell you, it slowed up for quite a while on the calendars, Michael. But then all of a sudden in the last few years, I don't know what it is, but it seemed to pick back up again. I think there are some people that like to write things down on their calendar, on their wall. I know Frank uses his calendar, and I use totally electronics. Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
After you introduce your sales system, you will follow up with some of these unique dimensional mailers for the marketing system for a company. It's a natural fit. If you've got a guy who's invested in sales and you've brought him great ROIs, hey, the marketing's just going to exponentially grow that.
Absolutely.
That's a great follow-up.
You know what's important there, Michael, too, is we're kind of circling the field on it, but it's targeting your audience. Instead of sending out the 5,000 pieces to the tennis club, they targeted who they wanted as their clients. Once they targeted, then success came, because then they were willing to spend about the same amount of money, but to get a greater return on investment through the targeting of the prospects.
Yeah. Did you guys catch 60 Minutes, the story on the data brokers, by any chance?
No.
Go hit on YouTube or go to 60 Minutes and watch last Sunday's story. It's about the data brokers. And when we talk about target marketing, you're going to be flabbergasted, because the data brokers, and with the internet technology and with the cell phones and with Facebook and LinkedIn, you can target so specific now. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And the 60 Minutes story does about a 15-minute piece. And what I'll do, I was so impressed with it, I rewatched it online, and I took notes, and I took the names of all these specialty data brokers that you can get lists. I mean, this is kind of gross, but you can get lists of people with venereal diseases. You can get lists of people on any kind of medication you can think of. By prescription, you can buy a list of people who have cancer, who have diabetes, who have any ailment you can think of. It is so specific now, and all that data is right there available on the internet through a lot of companies. There were about 8 or 9 of the big boys that 60 Minutes featured. I'll send you my notes on that. I think you'll find it very interesting. From a marketing standpoint, you can target now like you wouldn't believe.
Wow, and that's so important, you know, as opposed to just going out there and just sending stuff out. You know, I can't tell you how often Brian and I will be in a place or talking to someone, and we'll mention maybe direct mail. Oh, I tried that, and it didn't work, is the response. oh, when you look at what they tried, you can see 12 reasons it didn't work.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to give both of you the chance to leave with some parting words of advice for our new and green HMA consultants. Any advice you want to leave them with?
One of the things we are discovering, Michael, is that small businesses have huge problems and huge operational problems. Most of them are not in the marketing or selling business. They have products that they sell or they have services that they sell. There is great opportunity for HMA consultants in small businesses. I mean, just in this one business we're working with now, you know, if we had a list of all of the breakdowns they have in their marketing and sales system, there were probably 52 or 53 breakdowns that they have in their system. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Do not be discouraged if people say no. And one of the problems we're finding is a small business will start small, real small, maybe one or two people. Then they'll grow and grow and grow. And they put this hodgepodge together of how they market, a hodgepodge together of how they sell, but it's never integrated and it's never aligned. And I think that the real benefit of the HMA system and now with our sales system is we show them how to align and how to integrate everything that they do so that one piece of the system supports another piece of the system. There's great opportunity out there for HMA consultants.
All right. Brian, any last words?
Yeah, Michael, just work for the other HMA consultants. They can kind of keep it light when they go out there. Ultimately, with the HMA system, they have the ability to increase pretty much any size business's profits and reduce their costs. They just need to get out there. That's pretty much it.
I appreciate you guys sharing with me.
Well, it's been a big help to both of us, and, you know, we wanted to extend that help to all the HMA consultants.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for the time. Have a good rest of your afternoon, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Continue your success, Jay Michael.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of our interview with Frank and Brian. For more great interviews like this, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.